know, so many things that the world has just put upon you, you know, that you just had everything in the world that they throw at you. But as a Christian, you walk with the Lord very long, you realize that what you really need is more of Him. Amen. He came to give us life and give it more abundantly. And so, Brother Ram tells us that there's a deep calling to the deep. You have a desire in your heart for more of God is because there is more of it for you.
Amen.
And so I won't be satisfied until I'm over in that other realm there in a different body, that one that won't decay, and I'm able to be in His presence and give honor and praise to Him continually. I had a guy tell me one time, I remember right where we were coming back, and we were on the interstate right there in Brown Mulberry. He looked over me and he said, "I don't think it sounds like much fun to be sitting around worshiping some guy throughout eternity." And I said, "Well, you don't know the one I know." Amen. Amen. So God is good to us. I mean, He's happy to be in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
Thank God for air conditioning.
Amen.
Amen. So we're just happy that the Lord gave us a place. And, you know, so there have been many saints throughout many ages didn't have air conditioning. Amen. And they were Christians. You know what? It's not what happens outside in the world that determines whether or not we're Christians, right? We're believers.
Amen.
We're believers. We just keep going on. No matter what happens, we're going to keep pressing on.
Amen.
Right? And so I was listening to Brother Branham. What house will you build me? That sermon. You know, he waited for about 3 years out in Arizona when he moved out there, and nobody opened his doors. And so Brother Perry Green finally went out there and started the church, and so Brother Ram was speaking there, and he said, "What house will you build me?" And in that sermon, he said, "If there's only two of you here, you'd be one of them." Yeah. Amen?
Yeah.
And so when I look out, and I see we got more than two. Amen? We got quite a few more than two, so I'm glad to be serving the Lord alongside of a bunch of people, a bunch of brothers and sisters who have the same determination. Amen.
Amen.
And press on and be Christians no matter what comes. We do not know what this world is going to turn into in the days ahead.
Right.
Right? We don't know. But we do trust and know the one that holds our future.
Amen.
Amen. So we're just going to hold to God's unchanging hand no matter what happens.
Amen.
Because He has put something in us to do that. So let's open our Bibles tonight to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're going to talk to you tonight a little simple thought called Ambassadors for Christ. I've always enjoyed this thought of this scripture where Paul is saying, speaking on this about ambassadors for Christ. 2 Corinthians 5, we begin reading verse 17. How many love the Bible?
Amen.
You know, Brother Ram was saying that some organization, I forget who it was, said, "This man has wrote the outstanding book of the year." And Brother Ram said, I differ with you. The Bible is God's book for the year.
Yeah.
For every past year and every current year and every future year, this is the book of the year.
Yeah.
Amen. Nothing wrong with books that are commentary on that, but this is our book.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
This is our absolute.
Yeah.
2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature."
Yeah.
Aren't you glad?
Is
a new creature. Old things are passed away. You know, if old things are passed away, then they're not still living, right? You know what? Dying's not easy, right? It's a hard thing to do. My brother, sister, when it's dead, you can't resurrect it. Praise God for that.
Amen.
Amen. "Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." And One more scripture in John chapter 13, verse 20. So let's put it up here real quick. Jesus speaking there. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send, receiveth me. And he that receiveth me, receiveth him that sent me. You know, the tail end of that scripture, we need to remember that God's word means exactly what it means, exactly what it says.
Amen.
Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we're so thankful to be here in the house of God. Lord, just to be with your children. And Lord, to have a hunger and a desire in our hearts, Lord, to serve you, to be with one another, and just to look to you, Lord, and sit at your banquet table and just receive what you have for us. And so, Lord, we just present ourselves to you tonight and ask, God, that you just come in your great Holy Spirit and just open the bread of life. Lord, which only you can do. I know that there's a lot of ministers throughout the world, a lot of preachers and different ones, and Lord, we realize that none of them, Lord, they're nothing in themselves. It's only you. And so that's the way we present ourselves tonight to you, asking God that through your mercy and grace that you'd come and use us, Lord, to work out your program in this hour. We love you, Lord. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Ambassadors for Christ. Amen. So, you know, the word Messiah, I didn't know this until I looked it up last night, or I think it was last night. You know, we know the word Christ means the anointed one. Well, guess what? The word Messiah means that too. Messiah, the word Messiah and Christ mean the same thing, the anointed one. And the word anointed one, when you look at that, it comes from the concept in the Bible where they would anoint someone with oil, be anointed. And as we've said so many times, you know, the whole world as we know it today, even though they don't like to think these things, that it's all God's program, but the whole world exists in pretty much virtually off of oil. It is the petrol, it's the oil that makes all these products and has the fuel. And without oil, we would still be horse and buggy, right? Maybe. But it's something that's out there, and just so much of it, and they make so many products from it and everything. Of course, we've talked about how oil, you know, you can use it for so many things, cooking, and we used to pour oil on our hogs when we were growing up. We put oil in to keep the bugs off of them. You know, and so sheep, I'm sure they use it in all kinds of ways, and animals, and I mean, I could go on and on about what oil is, and so, but he who has the oil is the one that's in power.
Right.
Think about it. They fight over oil, right? It's a petrol dollar and so forth. And so, this is a natural type spiritual. He who has the anointing, think about it.
Right.
He who has the anointing, he's the guy that's on top.
Right?
Now, in natural world, you see what they do. Well, what about believers who are anointed?
Right.
And so we find out that the word anointed, the anointed one, is someone who's been anointed. Of course, anointed with oil.
Right.
And so we know the Holy Spirit. Oil is the Holy Spirit in the Bible. And so a person who's anointed with the Holy Spirit, they become an anointed one. Real, real simple. So we know that Jesus Christ was the anointed one because God had sent him forth, as we've said so many times, how that God spoke his word and that word was made flesh, and God went in that word, clothed himself with that word, so he anointed the word with his own presence, sent his word forth, and so the word is anointed, it's an anointed word. You start talking about the Word of God and the Holy Spirit comes.
Right.
Because he dwells in his Word. Right? You want the presence of God in your life, just get the Word in your life.
Yeah.
Talk to one another about it. Testify about it. Meditate upon it. Pray about it. And the Holy Spirit won't be too far away from you because that's the way it works. Because he dwells in his Word. And so the Word is the anointed one. And then when Christ came here as the Word made flesh, he was the anointed one. He was the Christ. He was the Messiah.
Yeah.
All because he was anointed. But you see, you understand that we as believers, we are anointed with the same Spirit. And so if we have the same spirit upon us, that makes us anointed ones. Not to try and take away from Christ, but it's a concept through the Bible, because most people say, oh yeah, well, it was Jesus. But there's many anointed ones, right? And if so, if someone is anointed by the Spirit of God and the presence of God, then they if they have that presence upon him, then they are anointed also. Anointed ones. And Brother Bam called, he called us, when we say Christ or Messiahs, and sometimes he talked about us being Messiahs, but he used this phrase, we are Messiahettes. So Messiah being the male portion, but Messiah is the female version of him, Messiah, right? She's Messiahette. But the whole point is there, she's anointed. And that makes her Messiah or Messiahette, right? Because man and husband and wife are one. That makes her anointed, her a Messiah. So, Brother Manum, in question and answers, they said to him, Brother Branham, in his question, said, it's commonly believed by many of your followers, the followers of your message, that you are the Messiah this day. Is that so? Plainly tell us, Brother Branham. You seem to hesitate to make yourself known, and we know that with such a ministry as God has given you, you should be identified in the Scripture somewhere. Now, Brother Branham said, first place is, I am not a Messiah, see? Messiah is Jesus Christ. But we are Messiahettes. Every one of us, Messiah means anointed one, and in him dwelt the fullness of the Godhead bodily, but in me is just a part of his Spirit. The same Spirit dwells in you. He said, I've been given a gift to know little things and foresee things. That makes me still your brother. See, I'm not no Messiah. I'm your brother. Just as a shepherd to the flock. And if I told you that I was a Messiah, I'd be a liar. And I don't want to be a liar. And so, you know, and I don't remember the place where it was, but Brother Ben was saying, you know, someone was talking and said, they make a God out of you. And it was someone who just was kind of an unbeliever, or they might have been religious, but they said, they make a God out of you. And he said, well, is that really that far off? Yeah, keep your balance here. So understand what he's saying. The Scripture said, they are gods to whom the word of the Lord come to. Prophets. Gods with a little G. See? So the whole concept, what here is that when God comes down and anoints someone, he doesn't mind being associated, you know, coming in there and associating himself there and letting that be expressed through that person and making that person an anointed one, making that person a Messiah, a Messiahette, and making them a little God almost. Even Moses said, you'll be God and Aaron will be your prophet. See, we stumble over things. We stumble over how God comes down and makes a person into a gift to express him and even identifies himself to such a place that he would say they're gods, or he would say they're anointed ones. But people, oh, what are you making yourself out to be? We're just saying that when God comes down and anoints someone, that makes them a Messiah or anointed one. And so Brother Branham was saying here, well, you know, I'm not a Messiah, that's Christ. But yet, we are Messiahettes. We're the female full version of the Messiah. Jesus was the anointed one, and he was anointed to carry out the word for his day. Well, not just the word for his day, the word for every day. When he was in flesh, there as a man walking up down the shores of Galilee, he was the anointed word, and he was anointed to carry out the word for his day. He was anointed to carry out the purpose for his life. Amen? But you see, we're anointed with the same Spirit. And we are anointed for the same purpose. Jesus said, I can't do anything except my Father showed me. It's not me that doth the work, it's the Father that dwells in me. Right. And he said, now you go do the same.
Right.
And we'd have to stand there and say, look, I can't do anything unless he anoints me, unless he does it.
Right?
Right? And so but yet when he does it, it's something real.
Right. Yeah.
Amen. It's the hardest thing in the world to get someone to believe God is working in your life, especially to help them. You know, remember the badger skins? You imagine that? The presence of God behind badger skins?
Right.
Why did God do it that way? You ever tried to catch a badger? You ever tried to deal with one? Right? That's us.
Right?
Right? But God said, look, in my program, I dwell behind badger skins. In my program, I dwell in the midst of a people, right? That taming their flesh is might as well just be a badger.
Right.
That's why he did it. But he did that to show you that, yes, I can dwell in the midst of a people
right. That
are redeemed.
Yeah.
Right? That they you know, our sinful nature from the flesh and so forth will be like badgers. But God wants you to know, yes, through my program, I'll come and I'll live behind a people that's, of course, you know, the badgers were dead then. Right? Right? And so we Christians, that song, Brother Tim mentioned it the other day. I used to sing it, and my wife would sing it with me. The old man is dead.
Yeah.
I really like that song, and I'm not talking about my dad or I'm talking about the old man.
Right. Yeah.
And the words in that song, you know, friends said to me, "How come you're not still out painting the town red?" Because the old man is dead. That's why. See? Now, brother, sister, you can't kill yourself. I'm talking, I know people commit suicide, but you can't make yourself die to sin, but he can. Right? He can. And once he's dead, once that man is dead, he's dead. Amen. Of course, you know that you have to die daily. Right? Something inside you, the desire for sin dies, but it's still resident in your flesh. So you die daily. Amen. And so we're anointed for the same purpose. So that is to carry out the word for our day, the word, what portion of the word we are to be. We're anointed to do that. Brother, sister, we have got to take these things home with us. We've got to lodge this word down inside until you get to the place where you get up out of bed in the morning, you know what your purpose is. You are an anointed one. You're here for a purpose, and that is to live out the word. As we get a little bit further, you'll understand more about my whole thought about this that the Lord gave me last night, or last couple of days been on my heart, you know. And so I sit down last night and begin to put it on paper, these thoughts, to line them up. So anointed ones. Brother Bram tells us the Noah, Abraham, and Moses, those were messiahs. Messiahs.
Okay.
They were the form of Messiah in their day. They were acting out a male portion, the God male attribute in that day, and there was to be a people who would be blessed by honoring what that was that they were living out. You look at Noah. The male attribute to save a people, and he lived out that, and those who got into that were saved. Those who resisted it lost.
Right.
Same thing with Moses. The male attribute of God, Messiah through a person. Messiah being lived out, reaching out through that gift to save and bring all his people out of Israel, out of Egypt. And look at all the ones that resisted and what happened to them.
Right?
So God works through men. God comes down and he anoints people and he sends them forth to be a blessing. And those that bless that are blessed, and those who curse that are cursed. That's the way it was with Abraham.
Yeah.
Can you imagine that? Upon what basis? Upon what basis that Abraham could be someone that God could say, listen, anybody on this whole planet, if they bless you, they're blessed. But if they curse you, they're cursed. On what basis? And it was simply on the basis that Abraham was God's servant that he called.
Right.
What if God called you?
Yeah.
Then if God called you, you're for a purpose, And lives can be blessed by that. And of course, there will be resistance. And if you stand and you watch and you see those who bless it are blessed and those who curse it are cursed.
Yeah.
Who's doing it? You? No. God is. Amen. But could we arm ourselves not to walk out and say, you better be good? No, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm saying to know that you have a purpose. That you can go out and you can make a difference in people's lives. And now just go do that. Just get up and go do that. That to go out arming yourself with the knowledge to know that no matter what a situation I walk into, I can make it better. Why? You? Is it you? No, it's not you. But it's the anointing of God that you have received, that you desire, you fellowship with it, you long for more of it. Now take that gift and that presence and go out and change every situation that you come into. Make it better. And you can make it better because you've got life in you that you're living, eternal life. Amen. So now we are Messiahs, Messiahs. Whosoever blesses us is blessed, and whosoever curses us is cursed. And you'd say, well, how far does that go, Brother Tony? How far does it go that God would say that my anointed people, right, touch not my anointed, do my prophets no harm? He's the one saying it, right? He's the one saying it. We don't walk in haughtiness, we walk in humility. But brother, if we walk in that anointing, he's the one that said it.
Yeah.
Right? And so how far does this go? Well, it goes far enough to say, enter into life because you did something good. Think about it. At the white throne judgment. People come up and they don't have life. And they're given life because they were good to his brethren. Right? You know the scripture said he's our brother. He's our big brother, right? It's talking about believers. That he will grant life. Now listen, Christians already have life. They have eternal life. They've had it before the world was. We just found out that we had it. It's predestined to have, but there's a people who don't have it like that, but it's given to them.
Yeah.
And it's given to them because they visited when they were sick and in prison and so forth. Right?
Yeah.
So how far does this go that God will say, if you bless these people, you'll be blessed, and if you curse them, you'll curse. And you'll find it right there in Matthew 25. Because you did do this, enter in, but because you didn't do it, depart from me. Now that's that class of people. Not talking about bride. But that's a class of people. That's not even foolish virgin. But that's a class of people that at the white throne judgment, they get in because they've done something good for God's people. Right? They bless them and they get blessed. Or they curse them and they get cursed. This is the Bible. Right? Enter into life because you were good to his brethren. Because Jesus said, what you do to them, you do to me. If I, whosoever I send, if they receive you, they receive me.
Right.
And if they receive me, they receive him that sent me.
Right?
Right? So when they receive you, they're receiving God.
Right.
Because it's God sent them. Amen. Because what you do, look at Paul. When Paul was on his way to on the road to Damascus, and that light pillar of fire smote him down. Right? Who are you, Lord? I'm Jesus, whom you persecuted. Paul wasn't persecuting Jesus, the man that walked up in what you would think, but he was persecuting believers. See? We must remember what you do to God's anointed, you're doing to him. Good or bad?
Yeah.
Good or bad? That can swing it all back to communion and our whole talk to discern the Lord's body. right? To know those, the scriptures, know those that labor among you. Know the body and discern it, right? And treat it as such. Amen. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. And everywhere he went, he injected life into every situation. Now, he is the anointed one, right? And he's anointed with life. He is the resurrection life. And everywhere he went, he would inject life into that situation. I'll say it this way. He was the minister of life. A minister will minister out.
Right.
Dispense out.
Right.
What he has, he gives out.
Right.
So when he walks into a situation, no matter what it is, you know, it's like I was thinking about Brother Bram when he went to preach for Florence Nightingale. And you've seen the pictures in the books of what she looked like. She was nothing but skin and bone. And Brother Branham, when he went in to pray for her, he said, I don't know where she got enough moisture to even cry as tears would run down the side of her face. Right? And she was trying to say something, and come to find out what she was saying, she was asking, Brother Branham, pray for the Lord to let me die. And I think me and my brother were talking about how can you, as a minister of the gospel, as a dispenser of life, how could you pray for someone to die? That's not your ministry. See, we have a ministry. If we're anointed, we have a ministry, and it's a ministry of life, not death, not confusion, not drama. But a ministry to improve every situation you walk into, no matter what it is.
Yeah.
Did Jesus do that? Did he ever walk into a situation and go, oh, I can't handle this. This is too much for me.
Right.
He never did that.
Yeah.
Right? Why? Because he was anointed. He was an anointed one. And what we've got to understand is the same thing for us.
Right.
Brother, sister, take what you've got. If it's just a candle, you can walk in the darkest room on the planet and light it up.
Amen.
As a believer, just the weakest Christian can make the devil tremble. Right?
Right.
Amen. So he walked in everywhere. Jesus come in. He bring life to the situation because he's a minister of life. You know, the prophets of old were the same way. Those people knew. You read about in your Bible, they knew. You got a problem? Let's go to the prophet. Right? You remember the scriptures that a Jewish girl had been kidnapped and she became a servant to Naaman the Syrian, which was the captain of the guard. He was a general, I guess, a general over the whole army, the Syrian army. She had been captured and now she was a servant. And here's a good one for you. She was a slave, a servant, captive, not even among her own people. But she walked with an honor. And even though she was in captivity to that family, and a servant to Naaman, the captain of the guard of the Syrian army, she was a servant to him as a slave. But she had a character about her because Naaman was a leper. And even though he was a captor over her, she said, oh, would to God we were in Israel. Because in Israel there's a prophet. And that prophet can recover my master from his leprosy. Remember the story? Yeah, there's a prophet. If you can get to him, he can tell you what's going on. And he can help you. Why? Because that was a channel that God had picked, a channel God had anointed for a purpose, so that there it was standing there, and people would have situations, they could go to that prophet and find what their answer needed to be because they were a channel. Doesn't make that prophet anything. No, it just makes him your brother. But he's got a gift that if you just could bless that gift, you'll be blessed. If you curse that gift, you'll be cursed. It's still the same today. Whether it's just a small person just in a workplace, if they're anointed with Christ, then you can be blessed or cursed by the way you treat them. It can be in a church. It can be in whatever setting, whatever the level of gift it is, from a prophet on down to whatever. But we must understand that there are gifts of God that move among us. And to bless them, you're blessed. To curse them, you're cursed. And why would a believer want to curse something that's of God? They wouldn't.
Yeah.
Right? But now if we're not walking and staying prayed up, you might find yourself doing something like that. You don't want to do that, see? The Spirit of God amends His Word. The Spirit of God blesses and honors the gifts that He puts among you. Amen. Those prophets were the same. Remember in the story there where Saul had lost his dad's horses. The scripture said his dad's asses. And they went out and they were looking for him. Right? They couldn't find him. They looked and they looked and they looked and they couldn't find him. And they like, well, let's go back. Can't find him like that. And the servant there with Saul said, well, you know, there's a man of God over here. There's a man of God over here. Let's go to him. Because what he says surely comes to pass. Let's go talk to him. He can tell you where your horses are, where your asses are. And so you see, why? He was a prophet. Let's go to that prophet. Let's find out what is the move of God today. Let's find out what's the need of my life. Let me find the answer there when I go to the source of a gift that God has put here. It is just a man, but it's a gift. A Messiah, a Messiah, a channel. See, if we get into God's program instead of fighting with God's program, get in that program, brother, sister, your life will be so blessed. You'll just get in cycle with it. Make a place. You know, they would, of course, the scripture said, you know, Elijah would come, whatever, and so I understand at some of their feasts, they'll set a chair there at their feast for Elijah. Why don't we do that? I don't mean necessarily physically. Think about it. When you come to feast, come to feed. Come to feed. Let's make sure that we include a place for Elijah. That gift. While we feed, he could feed with us and we could fellowship, commune together. Because the blessing, you know, I forget the way the scripture says it. Receive a prophet in the name of a prophet, you'll receive a prophet's reward. Receive a righteous man in the name of a righteous man, and receive a righteous man. There's only one righteous man. Right, Jesus Christ. Receive him. Watch what that reward is going to get you.
Yeah.
But as a prophet, receive a prophet in the name of a prophet. You'll receive a prophet's reward. That's scripture. That's scripture. I feel sorry for these people out here in the world that turn their back on the Bible and won't listen to a prophetic gift. I mean, a real one. Right? Because there is a reward for being a prophet, but receiving a prophet in the name of a prophet. Brother Rev said it'd be the friend of the prophet because it might come in handy. Right? It might come in handy if you've received this gift for what it is.
Yeah.
Don't make it anything more. But brother, sister, in what it is, I'm telling you, it will change your life. Right? So receive it, because if you'll do that, you'll receive that reward of being a friend with that prophet. And it came in handy for I think it was a Shunammite woman. Amen. So those prophets of old were like that. Jesus changed every situation he came to. If Jesus could come to a funeral, what do you think is going to happen? It's going to be a resurrection. Right? As you've always heard so many times, when he was in there, it said, Lazarus, come forth. As if he said, come forth, they would have all come forth. They had to pinpoint it, say, I'm talking about Lazarus, you come forth. Right? So he changes situations. You know, that's the way it would to God. There was a prophet in it. Our Syrian captain could be healed of his leprosy. Right? Let's go see the prophet. He can tell us where our animals are. The one thing that we realize in the testimonies we have of Brother Branham, you hear so many times. And I asked Billy Paul, what's the greatest thing? And he said, The dad knew how to handle every situation. He just knew how everything to come. He knew how to handle it. I mean, remember hearing that? That's right.
Right.
Yeah. Why? Because he was an anointed one. He understood his position. He understood his purpose. He understood his gift. And he would operate it and do it. And his gift was to minister life, to help every situation. And that's, listen, brother, sister, we can try and break this down and make it just a man, but I'm telling you, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony.
Yeah.
How did you find out about Jesus Christ? Somebody testified.
Yeah.
Right? God uses our testimonies to bring people in. That's his program.
Right.
So who are we to say, well, I'm not going to listen to that? If it's God's word, if it's in agreement with God's word, and it's a testimony, you can, especially if it's identified in Scripture, then you understand this is something God's doing. And so we have testimonies. Jesus said, the Queen of Sheba, she will rise with the generation Jesus was preaching to. She'll rise with that generation and condemn them, because her testimony is that she went and traveled all the way across that desert for 3 months to come and find that gift of Solomon to see if it was real. I'm coming to see if this is real. And she came and she blessed it and went away blessed. And it's in the Bible now. And so generations after generation know it. She was blessed because she honored that gift. And Jesus said, here he is, a greater than Solomon was here, right in their midst, and they didn't want nothing to do with it. And here it was, she went to see a lesser gift and did all that to go. And so, what am I saying? That generation will be condemned by testimony. So when we have testimonies of Brother Forrest Farmer with his feet, the way God healed him as a child, when Brother Branham called his dad, I called him my name, and he was down hidden behind the seat there, and he said, you got a boy there, buddy, you got something wrong with your feet. We know Brother Forrest. We've heard his testimony. On a testimony, we're judged by what our attitude is toward the testimonies that God has placed in our day, in our midst. Testimonies we tell, me and Brother Daniel tell, and others can tell about what God, those things are going down on history and book, in God's books, because of testimony. It means something when you hear it. God wants you to do something with what you hear.
Right?
So we have those testimonies. Said Brother Bram just knew how to handle whatever situation came along. And I'm saying this, that it's not him, but it was the God that he was in contact with. It was the God who had anointed him. It was the God that he was packing around, and that anointing was the one that knew how to handle every situation. So we don't have to know, we just have to know him. And be thoroughly convinced that as I go, no matter what situation I walk into, I'm bringing him there. To change the situation. So what was it? Brother Branham was an anointed one, called for that purpose, just like the prophets of old. Those men were Christ types. I was mentioned the other day about the last thing Jesus did was get, before he went to the Garden of Gethsemane and crucifixion, he had communion with his disciples. The last thing Brother Branham did preach was communion. Because he was a Christ type. Right? See, his ministry identified in the Bible, even to things that isn't so right. Look at that. They said, oh, Elijah, he was caught up in a whirlwind. But we think we think God brought him back. He's come back from being caught up, and he's here. We're going to go search and see if he's up here on one of these mountains. And even Brother Branham, there was a group, sect, a group of people that said, oh, Brother Branham's going to return. It had to be that way. John the Baptist, he had to say, I'm not the Messiah. I'm not him.
Yeah.
Brother Branham had to say that. Right? Because he was a Christ type. So you understand. Moses, a Christ type. Abraham, just all the different things. They were all. So who did that? Those men? No, it's God come down and identified himself in those men to live out types so that you know that when Messiah comes, you can say, this is him, because I've seen him in the Bible all along, and I know he's him, but because he's the fulfillment of all that.
Right. Yeah.
Amen. What about here at the end time? How you going to know when this thing's real? Because you can go back and you can see it in Scripture. It was told it would be this way.
Right.
And that's how you know. We build our experience and our belief and our walk upon the Word coming to pass. Word that's identified in the Scriptures all along the way. That's somehow mysteriously hid from a lot of people, but not others. Amen. So they were Christ times. So, you know, as ambassadors for Christ, this is taking me a lot more to get through this. We're ambassadors for Christ. And we should be able to improve every situation we walk into. And we can do it if we believe it. We can inject life into every situation. Why? Because that's what we're sent here for. That's what we're sent here for. We're not sent here to just do everything that makes us feel good. We're here to improve the lives of other people through Christ. Amen? You know, I'm going to read some definitions. I'll try to get through here real quick, because we're ambassadors. Just some little definitions here. I want you to. An ambassador is an accredited diplomat sent by a country as its official representative to a foreign country. A person who acts as a representative or promoter of a specific activity. It's an ambassador. You know what an ambassador is? We have ambassadors that go and, you know, one in Russia and one in China and all these other nations. I'm assuming we have one in every nation in the world. We have someone that's there that is an ambassador. They are an official voice, an official representative of the entire nation. Right? And so, I keep getting dive bombed up here by something. The devil. Right? He's a sore loser. So we have these ambassadors, and there are an accredited diplomat, an official representative. And so, you know, the ambassadors, I looked this up to see if it was real because I'd heard this terminology before, but ambassadors have diplomatic immunity.
Right.
So, I looked that up also, and I want to read that to you. So, yes, diplomatic immunity is a principle of international law that protects foreign government officials and employees from jurisdictions of local courts and authorities. It protects them from arrest, detention, criminal and civil suits, and allows them to conduct their duties safely and freely, even in times of conflict. The degree of protection depends on the diplomat's rank and position, with ambassadors receiving the most protection.
Yeah.
And you know where I'm going with this.
Right.
As ambassadors for Christ, he has sent us to this earth.
Yeah.
We are his official representative.
Right.
And the laws of this realm cannot harm us.
Amen.
Right? Now, I'm not talking about you go out and do something, get thrown in jail. That's not what I'm talking about. But the laws of this planet, the people that are lost, the sinners, the cosmos of this world, all the spiritual laws, all the things that's out there, those things cannot touch an ambassador for Christ.
Amen.
We are here for a purpose.
Amen.
We are here to carry out business.
Amen.
And the laws of this realm cannot stop us from doing what we're sent here for.
Amen.
Right? That's an ambassador for Christ.
Right.
We can carry out our duties. The highest protection that's all there is for our protection, so we can do what God sent us here to do.
Yeah.
So what's going to stop you? Nothing. Right? Nothing's going to stop you if you believe it.
Amen.
Amen. Amen? Yeah. Ambassadors. Amen. You know, an ambassador operates out of an embassy. An embassy is an official location, official building or whatever. And so that's where he is. And so you realize that as an ambassador, you know, say if you're over there in, you know, let's say China, you're over in China, you're an American citizen and you're there working or whatever, and conflict goes on or something happens, maybe tension rises between the United States and China, and so now the United States people there in China working or whatever they're there for, now they're somewhat in jeopardy because of tensions or whatever. And so those people, they can look to, they can call, they can come to the American embassy. The American embassy, that ambassador there and that whole ministry there, because it is a ministry, right? That ministry there is there to help its own people. It's what it's there for. Because you must understand that when you're in another nation, their laws and their care for you probably isn't the same as what your own people is. So that's the whole concept, is to have this embassy there and have an ambassador and have an official channel, an official location. And so while you're there in that foreign land, you can look to the ambassador, you can look to the embassy, you can go to them for help, and even if you need to evacuate, you can find out how to go in a rapture. By going to the official ministry of an ambassadorship.
Right?
So we're here. We're ambassadors. Where's our embassy? Wherever we set our foot. Right? And we're not here for Satan's, for serpent seed, or for, we're not here for, we're here for our family. We're here for God's people. There's many people out here, and they need, they don't know yet, maybe, but when things rise, they need to be able to look to the embassy. They need to be able to come in contact with that ministry, that ambassador. Come in contact with that. Right? Because in coming in contact with it, then you can get them into contact with who you represent, their homeland. Our purpose is here to preach the gospel, to find those that are lost.
Amen.
To bring back the ones that were there to begin with. I know that sounds, but that's what redeem means. Right? That's an ambassador for Christ. You know, an ambassador has the backing of the country as long as you properly represent the country. It's a very important thing to think about. We must properly represent who sent us. Because we don't have the backing of the one that sent us if we're not properly representing them. God wants us to have a proper representation of the Lord Jesus Christ here on this earth. And as long as we do, He's backing us 100%. Amen? And so, you know, I spoke there just a little while ago about how the God with the prophets and so forth. Just to show you. You know, this sermon in Oddball, where a man was telling a story. Remember how they went to Samuel to find where those animals were. Brother Graham was speaking there, and he was talking about where he'd been up visiting with the Indians. And he said last spring, this was when he was telling this, he was telling about spring before that, a year ago. Last spring, it was a year ago, an Indian boy named Oscar that we hunted on the highway up there where the angel of the Lord would bring that caribou and that silver-tipped grizzly. You know the stories about how God told him where those would be. And then that boy, he was a Catholic. He didn't have nothing to do with it. Somebody didn't have nothing to do with Christianity. He, you know, the way we believe. He's But last fall, when he was standing by my side, when his mother back there was dying with a heart attack, and he said, won't you come back and pray for her? And I went back to this little hut and the Indians there, and there all of them gathered around this mother and her dying and couldn't speak a word of English. And the Holy Spirit came down and told the mother, through the interpreter, which was her daughter, told her what had taken place, even called her name, and told her that she what she was, and even what tribe she was from, and how this would happen, and the mother was instantly healed. Well, that next morning when I came back to see them, I was getting ready to go on horseback to go back 40 miles back in there to get a sheep, I think is what he said. And she's talking about the mother. She was there. She was getting on a horse to go back to dry moose meat. And she said, we no more Catholic. She'd been healed the night before. And Oscar, her son, was there when this happened. Right? He don't want nothing to do with it. He's Catholic. But she said, we no more Catholic. She said, we believe like you believe. We want you to take us and baptize the way you baptize. We want Holy Ghost. Right? And on the trip back, the boy had lost his horses months before that. Now here's a modern day testimony of a boy, and this was a year before. He had lost his horses months before that and couldn't find him. And the guide, which was Brother Bud Southwick, the guide was bawling him out and said, Oscar, you know better to leave them horses like that. The grizzly bears would eat them up. They'd eat them horses up by this time because they were out in the mountains. And Brother Bam was talking about Oscar. He said, he kept standing close by me. And one night he said, me ask you something. I said, yes. He said, Brother Branham, pray God give me my ponies back. Bud said, the bears eat them up. Have you ever seen the videos of Brother Bud Southwick? He was quite a character. I can just imagine it. He's just railing on Oscar. The bears eat them up. What are you talking about? You know? Said, Brother Branham, ask God give Oscar ponies back. I said, you believe that, Oscar? He said, I believe. God make my mother well. God tell you where bear was and where game was. That God know where game is. Know where my horses is. Now look at the simplicity here. The Bible says don't be beguiled of the simplicity. All he knew was, look, hey, I was there. I seen that. And my mother was healed of that heart attack and getting up the next morning, getting on a horse to go back and dry moose meat. I seen that. He told you where that caribou and that bear was going to be. If he knows all that, then he can tell me where my horses is. He didn't care that Bud was telling the bears that eat him up. And you know what? Maybe the bears had eaten him up by that time because God's a creator. He know where my horses is. Brother Brent said, think of it. A year ago, while standing back there with Fred Softman, he's here tonight, Billy Ball, my son, the Holy Spirit came down, and I said, Oscar, you'll find your ponies, and they'll be standing in snow. There it lays on a letter. Wrote last week. I got it. When he was telling us, he just got a letter the Friday. Said, laying right there. It's on file now. Said, Brother Branham, Oscar find ponies standing in snow. How they live, nobody knows. At this time of year, June, there's so much snow that's about 20 or 30 feet of snow around them. And how did they stay there through the winter in this canyon? Oscar can get to them on snowshoes, but of course he can't put snowshoes on his ponies. So he had to leave them there. But he found them according to the word of the Lord. It might sound like a nut, but just believe it one time. Just believe it one time and see what happens. It depends on how your thread, what you're threaded to. Now, here's a Bible example right here today and a testimony that we're going to be judged with because we've heard it. To know, brother, sister, as ambassadors for Christ, we can have results. Not just here. But out there. Have you ever heard Brother Branham say, and I'll quit real quick here, but have you ever heard him say, well, people think, all this going on in here is a big thing. He said most of it happens out there.
Right.
Most of God moving and healing and discernment's happening out there. Brother, sister, if all we do is in here, what have we accomplished?
Yeah.
Right? Somehow we've got to come to enough faith, enough knowing and believing of who we are, that we can walk out into a store and speak to someone. And within mind, I'm going to bless this person. I'm going to say something. And of course, it'll depend on how they respond. But to go out there with the ministry, the ambassadorship of life, knowing that nothing can harm you as long as you're representing Him. You've got diplomatic immunity.
Amen.
Just be it. Nothing can stop it. Because it's the kingdom of heaven. Amen. God bless you. Let's bow our hearts. Sorry to keep you so long. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your blessings tonight. I pray, God, that these things that I've spoken, Lord, that came from you, you put on my heart. And so, Lord, I just pray that you take these things and may it just be ever so real to your people. Lord God, that they go from this place. And Lord, just that they get along with you and these things will begin to build up into their life, that they realize they've got a ministry. Lord, a ministry to go touch lives. We come in contact with people. Lord, there's a reason why we're in contact with them. And I pray, Lord, that we would touch these lives and not just say it, but God, come to that place, because this world is quickly falling apart. Time's running out. We just want to be effective Christians, Lord. Be able to go out there and bring the ministry of life to those around us, Lord. Help us to believe and know, God, that you're with us as we represent you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Song to sing. I may add some written down here because I'm terrible at coming up with a song at the end of service. You love it?
Amen.
How many want to be an ambassador for Christ?
Amen.
You already are. You already are. You need to search the books and find out what the laws say. They say they can't touch you.
Yeah.
You can go and you can operate the business that God sent you here for without worry. Right?
Amen.
He'll stand by you. Could you imagine some country trying to do some evil thing to an ambassador? Amen. Amen. Let me look here. Let's go to Psalm 364. I don't want to keep playing this in. Let me figure it out. In time.